Eternal Father, who has spoken in various times and in various ways to your people in the past, but in these last days in your Son, the incarnate Word, we pray that you will open the mouth of your servant to proclaim that word in the power of the Spirit. And we pray that this same Spirit will open the hearts of its hearers that you have assembled here to receive your holy gospel and write on their hearts your holy law, even as you have promised. All of this, gracious Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, our scripture reading this evening is found in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, as you know, is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. But we're just going to be considering Jesus' words here about prayer. So our text is going to be verses 5 through 8, but we'll read through verse 13. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, brothers and sisters, this is God's holy word. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. Well, brothers and sisters, what are some of the basic things that you do every day? Those things that you just do as part of your habit, part of your pattern every single day. Drink coffee. Eat food, go to work, go to school, hopefully go to school in a couple of weeks. Spend time relaxing, taking a shower. Many things that you just do as part of your everyday normal lives. But I hope one of the things that you do every single day regularly is to pray, is to read God's word. These are wonderful practices, and indeed God commands us to pray to him. And he still speaks to us through his written word. And we have that in the Bible. So we need to read that too. Pray. Read God's word. When I have visited with church members who are struggling spiritually, and perhaps are even wandering away from the church, we haven't seen them for a while, I always ask them, how often do you pray? How often do you read God's word? And the response is undoubtedly, not very often. It's been days or weeks since I've done that. There's no being fed throughout the week. There's no ongoing conversation with the Lord. And that's the situation our enemy loves. Our enemy loves that situation. If either of these things are lacking in your life, pray that the Lord will make them a priority. But also we need to remember to keep it simple. Start small. There are helpful Bible reading plans, or even just start reading a chapter or two a day, 5 or 10 minutes. And take time to pray. Take time to pray. Not just once or twice, but throughout the day. Matthew Henry wrote this nice little quote, "A golden thread of heart prayer must run through the web of the whole Christian life." And then it goes on to say that we are to have these little bursts of prayers going up to the Lord from our heart, thereby keeping communion with the Lord throughout the day. But I love that idea that there's this golden thread of prayers going through every single day of our life, this web of the Christian life, this thread of prayer. That certainly means more than just on Sundays at church. But it also means more than just around the dinner table. Of course, those are wonderful occasions to pray. We need to be continually in prayer. And children, this applies to you too. You can pray throughout the day. Give your prayers to the Lord. Just little prayers as you go through your day. Now, Lord willing, when I preach in the evenings for the next little while, I'll be going through the Lord's Prayer, and especially the Catechism's exposition of the Lord's Prayer. We heard just the beginning of that a few moments ago. And not only will this allow us to understand the Lord's Prayer better, but even just everyday prayers in the first place. In fact, that's the purpose of Jesus giving this little prayer to us, is to teach us how to pray, to give us words on what to pray for. And the Lord's Prayer is something that we hear often. We pray it often, I hope. And it's precisely because of those reasons that it is so familiar to us that sometimes we just need to take a step back. What are we praying for in the Lord's Prayer? And what do we pray for more generally? We don't say the Lord's Prayer merely out of tradition. There's a meaning to it. There's a purpose that Jesus gives. And the Catechism is a wonderful help for us in this regard, isn't it? Teaching us how to pray. So let us think this evening about prayer. What is prayer? Why do we pray? How do we pray? What is prayer? Why do we pray? And how do we pray? And may you, Christian, continually offer up your prayers to your Heavenly Father. And if you don't, if you feel you're lacking, now's a good time to start. Now's a good time to start. So what is prayer? Now, as you can imagine, there has been a lot that has been written about prayer over the centuries. And when one is beginning to write about prayer, you need to define it in some way. And some of these can be more technical. Hermann Vitsius defines prayer as the address of a rational creature to God, expressing to him the desires of the mind with the hope of obtaining them. It's going to take me a whole sermon to define a rational creature. So maybe there's another definition. William Perkins, to make prayer is to put up our request to God according to his word from a contrite heart in the name of Christ with assurance to be heard. Now that's a lot more straightforward. But for the sake of children, I find the First Catechism to have a very nice and simple definition. Prayer is praising God, giving thanks for all his blessings, and asking him for the things he has promised us in the Bible. Praising God, giving him thanks, and asking him for those things he has promised us. And these are the words that we heard in the Heidelberg Catechism as well. And we're going to begin to explore that tonight, and we'll continue as we go through the rest of the Lord's Prayer in the coming weeks and months. But one thing to consider, one thing that can be added about this question of what is prayer, is to just briefly think about the different settings of prayer. Is it a corporate prayer, public, or is it private, you alone? Private prayer has to do with that thread that we heard from Matthew Henry, running throughout the Christian life. That's private. This isn't a prayer that we even need to make audible. We can, but we don't need to. In our text this evening from Matthew, this is the kind of prayer that Jesus seems to be talking about. Private, personal prayer. And he gives this example, he gives this picture of something that's very private, very personal. Go into your room, shut the door. That's private. That's not public in any sense. And we'll think more about this later, but the point being made is that there is certainly a place for prayers just between us and God. Nobody else is involved. And God hears those prayers. As Jesus says, he's in the room. He even sees us, not only hears us. Our prayerful thoughts are heard by our Heavenly Father. And it's in those prayers especially where we open up our hearts to the Lord, don't we? We confess to him our sins. We ask him for the most basic things that are just weighing on our hearts, perhaps things we haven't even told anybody else. We cry out to the Lord in those times. We ask the Lord just to keep us going on our journey. We petition Him for those things. That's why we need to continually pray throughout the day, asking the Lord for these things. As Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray to the Lord without ceasing. Pray to Him continually. We do that just privately. But there's also public prayers. Now here we're not thinking about those prayers that should be private, like the Pharisee on the street corner in the synagogue, just like the hypocrite. But here we're thinking about prayer done in a corporate body, maybe as a family, or as a church family gathered in worship. Now, as a little side note, perhaps some of you pray in public at a restaurant. But even there, even if it's audible, it's private. It's private. It's just for that group. But in many ways, the prayers themselves, if it's public or corporate, private, it doesn't really change what's being said. It's still praying for needs. It's praising the Lord. It's thanking Him. One thing to mention in the context of a worship service is that even our singing is a form of prayer to the Lord. We're offering up our praise, offering up our thanks, and even asking the Lord for things in our prayers. It's our response back to Him. So we've thought a little bit about what prayer is. It's this communication with the Lord. And I hope as we go through the catechism on the Lord's Prayer, we'll continually to flesh that out, what that means. Well, let's think about our second point. Why do we pray? And the Catechism asks this question, and we confessed that earlier. But it gives this important distinction. Why do Christians need to pray? Why do Christians need to pray? Well, only those united to Christ, only those, they can truly pray to the Father, through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. If any of the persons of the Holy Trinity are diminished in any way in our prayers, it's not honoring to God. Christians pray to the Father, through the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So to pray publicly, to pray properly, even in public, we need to have this understanding. All of it needs to be in Jesus' name, with Him as our mediator. So if you're asked to pray publicly in a public setting, but the organizers ask you, can you just keep it kind of generic? There's going to be a lot of other faiths here today. Can you just pray generically? We have to say no. We have to say no. We need to pray according to what God has commanded us. The author of Hebrews speaks of Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. Because He has been made like His brothers in every respect. He has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. The Holy Spirit, as Paul tells us, intercedes for us in our weakness. We have to pray biblical prayers according to the triune God. And our prayers need to be offered with the utmost fidelity to the words of God. If we can't do that in public, we need to understand it's not a prayer honoring to the Lord. And we need to abstain from participating. Perhaps you may even need to leave if you can do so without making a scene. Maybe you need to have a private prayer if you can't. The Catechism goes on to say prayer is the chief part of our thankfulness that God requires of us. I don't think we understand this enough. The chief part of our thankfulness to God. Often we just place our own good works as our chief thankfulness. We know our good works can't earn anything before God. We do them out of thanks for all that Christ has accomplished for us. But before we can go and do good works, we need to pray. We need to pray to the Lord. Talk to Him. One of the aspects of married life that is so important is communication. I struggle with that, but it's important to have communication. I can do things all day long for my wife, showing my appreciation and thankfulness. But if I never talk to her, something's wrong. We have communication. The same is true with children. We have communication with them. And so too, we need to have this open dialogue with our Heavenly Father. Frequent dialogue. And how do we do that? It's through prayer. The Catechism continues. God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually, with heartfelt longing, as God for these gifts, and ask Him for them. Again, there's that idea of thankfulness. Giving God thanks for all these gifts that we ask for. Now, some of you might have a background in more of a Presbyterian tradition. Maybe as you heard these words, it caused your ears to perk up a little bit. In the Reformed tradition, we generally say that there are two means of grace, preaching of the gospel and the sacraments. Presbyterians add a third, prayer. Prayer. But for all intents and purposes, from our catechism here in 116 and 17, we're saying the same thing. We're just putting emphasis on the two instead of the three. Because we do pray for God for His grace, don't we? We do pray for that. We pray for the Lord, give us the Holy Spirit, strengthen our faith, increase our sanctification. We trust the Lord will answer that prayer. The prayer that is continual, that is heartfelt to God, to give more grace, give me the Spirit. That's a Christian prayer. It's a Christian prayer. It can only be the prayer of a believer. Over the years, I've had a number of people doubt if they are a true Christian. Because in some way, they don't feel the presence of God like they once did. Yet they're praying. They're continually asking the Lord for His grace. They're praying. They're crying out for His presence. Brothers and sisters, that might characterize some of you. Praying to the Lord for these things. And if you do, that's only the prayer of the regenerate heart. That's only the prayer of a believer. Crying out to their Heavenly Father. Longing for His grace, longing for His mercy. The unbeliever doesn't care about that. The unbeliever does not have that angst in their heart, does not have the desire to draw close to the Lord. Only the believer does. But again, our enemy wants to sow seeds of doubt, of temptation during those times. Ah, you don't pray enough. God's going away from you. Come near to me. I'll be near to you. That's what our enemy wants. But in our weakness and our failures, who's interceding for us? What does Paul say in Romans 8? In our weakness, the Spirit intercedes for us. We also have Jesus Christ as our mediator, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. What better way to do this than through our prayers? When you're tempted, when you're struggling, pray. It doesn't have to be profound. It doesn't have to be long. Just pray to your Heavenly Father. Draw near to Him. The devil will flee. It's a wonderful reason to pray. It's to flee temptation. We know that prayer is important for the Christian. We know why. But how? It brings us to our second point. When the rubber hits the road, how do we pray? Well, again, here the Catechism, in its very question, gives us an important addition so that God will listen to us. How do we pray so that God will listen to us? If God's not going to listen to us, what's the point? We want to pray so that God will hear us and listen to us. And part of the point that Jesus is making in His teaching here on prayer in our text is to pray in such a way that God will listen, that God will hear. And Jesus begins by telling us what not to do. Don't do like the hypocrites. Now, even Jesus just using the term hypocrites, that's profound. That's something telling. In the Greek, the word hypocrite means somebody who is acting. Somebody who is putting on a play, wearing a mask. Their outward appearance isn't showing what's truly inside. In this way, they're simply giving a show, even in their prayers. They're going out in public, praying in such a way that gives them glory. It gives them the glory, not God. All they're doing is standing on the street corner giving a monologue, hoping not that God's going to hear and see, but hoping that other people will hear and see. In fact, Jesus says they have received their reward, and they'll get it at that moment. The accolades, the praises of men. Not of God. They're hypocrites. The problem isn't that their prayer is audible. Jesus prayed audibly many times. But their problem is the motive. the motive for their prayers, the goal that they're seeking to achieve. It's for themselves. Jesus goes on to say in verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard by their many words. Now Jesus has moved a little bit down. He's not talking about the hypocrite anymore. He's talking about the Gentile, the heathen. In the pagan world, the deities needed to be appeased. You needed to have many words to make the gods feel good. Then they'll help you. The Gentiles are good at having long prayers. Tickle the ego of the deity a little bit, and he'll bless you. Therefore, the Gentiles have these long words, saying many words. Maybe that's going to be enough. Maybe now the God can hear me. Give me what I want. How does Jesus respond to that? Your Father already knows what you need before you ask. You don't need all those extra words. God knows it. He knows what you need. And if we're honest, we struggle with this in some degree, don't we? These examples that Jesus holds out of not to follow. We too can make our personal prayer, even our private prayer in some degree, a badge of honor. Yeah, I pray 20 times a day. Look at me. Look at me. Of course, it's not wrong to pray in public, to speak out loud. But when we do, we need to bring anybody that can hear us, we need to bring them in as participants, not as spectators. I guess so what's wrong sometimes with corporate prayer is you want people to be impressed. They're spectators. They need to be participants. They need to pray along with you. And we also need to be wary of just heaping upon extra words, these vain repetitions. Ministers can be guilty of that. Heaping up extra words. Corporate prayer is not the time to flaunt our theological understanding. It's not the time to show how many adjectives we can say about God. It's not the time. I remember Pastor Kamminga preaching on these verses when I was a kid. And he said that we can even fall into the trap of thinking if we even say the name of the Lord more often, it's more pleasing to the Lord. We can make almost every other word Lord or God. The Lord knows we are addressing Him. The Lord knows it. There are some ways not to pray, but the Catechism also tells us how to pray. What's a positive? How do we pray? The first is that we pray from the heart. We pray from the heart to the one true God as He has revealed Himself in His Word, asking Him for those things which He has commanded us to ask for. And the Lord's Prayer gives us the words to say. The model gives us the words. But what does it mean to pray from the heart? What does it mean to pray from the heart? It means that we just don't say the right words out of our mouths. It means it's coming from here. Our hearts are directed to the Lord in our prayers. As we heard this morning, we call upon our Heavenly Father with godly fear. Because of who we are in Christ, this is who we are. We cry out to the Lord. Because our hearts desire that. Well, the second answer to how we are to pray is to fully recognize our sin and our misery and to come with humility into God's presence. Any good book or explanation of prayer, it needs to spend time on this point. It simply has to. Who are we as sinful creatures? Who are we to come before the throne of the holy and righteous God? Who are we to then lay our concerns at His feet? Psalm 24 speaks of this, doesn't it? Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and has a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, does not swear deceitfully. That's who can come before the Lord on their own. We can't. We don't have a pure heart. We don't have clean hands. We come to the Lord with a broken, contrite heart. We realize we're poor beggars coming to the King. In another passage concerning prayer in Luke 18, Jesus tells of a Pharisee and a tax collector who go to the temple to pray. How did the Pharisee pray? He boasted of his own righteousness. This is who I am. Look at me and look what I've done. What does Jesus say to the tax collector? Standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Not like the Pharisee, praising himself, coming humbly. What does Jesus say? That man went home justified. That man had a prayer God heard. William Perkins makes this comment. It appears that the ordinary prayers of most men grievously displease God, seeing that they are only made for fashion, without any sense and feeling of their misery. When our prayers are only to make ourselves look good, God hates them. God hates those prayers. We need to have a sense and a feeling of our own misery. And I pray as a minister, as one who prays in public often, before congregation, before others, before my family, I pray my prayers aren't for show, but that they come humbly before the Lord. Recognizing our need, coming humbly. The final answer the Catechism gives for how we are to pray is that we need to rest. We need to rest on the unshakable foundation. The unshakable foundation of what? Of who? Of Christ. But also the promises given to us in God's Word. All of that's part of our foundation that we rest upon when we pray. Christ and God's promises. Because we know those are sure. We know those are not going to go away. Even though in ourselves we know we don't deserve any of these blessings of God, but through Christ as our mediator, we can come before God the Father, knowing that God will listen. He will answer according to his perfect will. He has promised us that. So these are some wonderful, simple answers of how to pray. And parents, you can use those as a model to your children. I hope you already have. Teaching your children how to pray. But even with this teaching, even these clear statements of the catechism, and even the children's catechism, if we're honest, we can still feel inadequate, can't we? Still feel inadequate in our prayers. And one way to help us in this area is to pray using God's Word. Pray using God's Word itself. We'll never err when we pray God's Word back to Him. It's a wonderful practice. And indeed, many have called the Psalms the prayer book of the Bible. Here we have recorded for us in Holy Scripture God's words, inspired, and we can pray back to the Lord, usually directly. Open up the Psalm, pray it back to the Lord. What a wonderful privilege we have. What a wonderful resource we have. But there are many other places in God's Word that can be used in the very same way. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this, I know I've been quoting a few authors tonight, but there's been a lot spoken about on prayer. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this, the child learns to speak because his father speaks to him. He learns the speech of his father. So we learn to speak to God because God has spoken to us and speaks to us. By means of the speech of the Father in heaven, his children learn to speak with him. By means of the speech of the Father, repeating God's own words after him, we begin to pray to him. We ought to speak to God, and he wants to hear us. Not in the false and confused speech of our own heart, but in the clear and pure speech which God has spoken to us in Jesus Christ. If we wish to pray with confidence and with gladness, then the words of Holy Scripture will have to be the solid basis of our prayer. I think that's so clear. Using God's Word as the basis of our prayer. We learn from our Father how to pray, using His words back to Him. Asking for those things that He commands us to pray for. Throughout God's Word, He says, pray for these things. Ask me of these things. And we do when we use His Word. So brothers and sisters, prayer, it's a vital aspect of the Christian life. But sometimes I think we even overthink it. When we overthink it, we get stressed out. when we don't pray as we should or as often as we should. Prayer is simply talking to our Heavenly Father, calling on Him. He asks us to. It's giving our request to Him. And over these next few weeks and months, we'll consider some of these basic requests, these categories of requests that are given to us in the Lord's Prayer. How do we pray? But when we are thankful to the Lord, we're thankful for all that He has given to us, most especially our redemption. How do we respond? First, through prayer, thanking the Lord for our redemption. But we do so humbly, truthfully, coming before the throne of grace, resting firmly on Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, I pray that you will continue to grow in prayer. Every single day, may all of us do that. But most importantly, may God be glorified in our prayers as we come before Him continually, without ceasing. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You in prayer. And Lord, we ask that You will hear us when we pray. And Lord, may we do so humbly, knowing, Lord, that we are beggars coming before the King. But also knowing, Lord, we come on that certain foundation of Jesus Christ. The promise is given to us in Your Word. Lord, may we continue to grow in this area. Give us Your grace. Give us the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we truly be praying people. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.